So I'm probably going to drag these announcements out because they told me that if I get done before them, then I also have to do offering, which I'm trying not to do. Well, today we want to welcome Tyler Franca with us. I think we'll put up a picture of his family, but his family was supposed to be here with us too, but his baby daughter got pneumonia, so they can't be here with us. So let's be praying for her and mom and the rest of their kids as well. But he's going to be sharing with us later about their ministry later in the service. This week, the celebrations, and she couldn't make it in this morning, but it's Marlis's birthday on the 16th, so reach out to her and make sure to wish her a happy birthday. Tuesday, we have precepts, 9 a.m. At Prince of Peace. As always, if you have questions about that, see Carol. Mom's Next, we have Tuesday at 6:30. And that is actually not here this week, so if you know anybody interested in that, they could get a hold of me. And then Wednesday night Bible studies is for all ages, starting at 6:30. We have dinner for the kids and teens, and then adult class and the rest of the classes start at 7. We've been trying to get done by 8, and I think doing a pretty good job. Prince of Peace needs, they have a coat closet and they're in desperate need of coats. So there's a flyer out in the foyer with more information about it. So take a look at that before you leave today. If you have extra coats lying around, take them over there. And then today we have a ladies ministry meeting here at the church at 3 o'clock. We'll try to make it brief. We just have some stuff. We're going to talk about teen talent and ladies retreat coming up, and just we haven't been able to meet for a while, so just kind of get caught up, have a little devotion, snacks, and fellowship. So come to that if you're able. And then we are looking for some help with teen talent the 24th and 25th. That's next weekend. So if you can help on those days, please see myself or Pastor Justin. And we're really needing, this is something like for the ladies, we're needing desserts for Saturday. So if anybody could bring like a pan of bars or anything like that, that's an easy way that you could help out with the lunch. So if anybody can make a dessert, just let me know about that. And then Miss Norma's address has changed. We have little slips out in the foyer. Grab one of those if you haven't. We talked to her yesterday, and she said that the cards that she's gotten and the calls and everything just means so much to her. So make sure to reach out to her because she had COVID, and she said it was the hardest 5 days of her life being cooped up. And so she kind of gets lonely. And so if you can send her a card or a call, she really appreciates it. And then there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer for women's retreat. If you have questions about it, you could see me or Lois. And there's sign-up sheets out there, too. And it's $40 early bird till March 31st.
You know, Church, the question that Ms. Janice asked is a question that we all have to answer. It's a question that every Christian that has ever lived has had to answer. And while there's a variety of different answers that can be given, there's only one right answer. And I don't know much, but I know that the Lord orders our steps. And so when Tyler reached out to me to come and speak, I think he was originally looking around February, and that just wasn't going to work with everything we had going on. And so this is the date that worked. God knew he was going to be here. And so keep in mind the question that Ms. Janice asked, who do you say that I am? And I haven't talked to Tyler. I don't know what he's going to say. But I will tell you this. Anytime that I have a chance to give someone access to the pulpit, I take it very seriously. Because while I don't know what that person is going to say, by giving them the microphone, I automatically endorse them. And so what Tyler doesn't know is I've done my homework. I've done my research, sneaked around, asked a lot of questions. Unanimously, every response has been favorable. What they're doing is great, and our very own Rex, who cannot be here today, is going to intern with them this summer. So yay for Rex, and yay for them. He also said he was going to take Kira, and so that tells me right there he's a very anointed man of God. but it is my pleasure to welcome Tyler Franca. You can have your liberty. And I just met him today, but I know that he's, can I say homegrown? Can I say that? He's homegrown, I believe. So he'll come, he'll share. Go ahead.
Check, check. There we go. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate you sharing your pulpit with me. Glad everyone checked out, whoever you asked. Glad it all checked out and I'm allowed to be here. But yeah, we're very excited to have Rex join us this year. My name is Tyler. My wife is Callie. We have three children, James, Ruth, and Leah. And unfortunately, she's a six-month-old baby, and yesterday we found out that she has pneumonia. So I appreciate you guys' prayers in that. That's just a stressful situation going on in our home right now. So unfortunately, the rest of them couldn't join me here today, but I'm here. And I'm excited to be here with you guys this morning. It's good to see some friendly faces this morning. But we are missionaries in the Dominican Republic, and we do a multitude of different ministries there. Our main ministry that we do is we have a children's program. And this program operates every day, Monday through Saturday, from about 9 to 10 a.m. to 1 to 2 p.m., depending on the day. And every day, they get a hot meal. And for most of the kids, we have 93 kids enrolled. Most of them, that's their only meal throughout the day. If they get a dinner, it'll be like a little pack of crackers and maybe a juice or something like that. But it's not a significant meal. And so we provide them with a meal. We also provide them with tutoring classes. We have kids age 12, 13, 14 that have been in school their whole life and they don't know how to read yet because the school just kind of pushes them on because the teachers don't want to deal with it. So we teach them how to read. We also have a day or two to play throughout the week. We do art classes. We do martial arts classes to help the kids defend themselves, you know, especially the young girls. We're teaching them to defend themselves and empowering them at a young age. But in the main of this, we teach them Jesus. We use all these different methods in our feeding, in our children's program to teach them Jesus. And this year, we had 88 kids enrolled in our feeding program. And me and my wife met, you know, and we were visiting about our feeding program this year. And about how many kids we can let in. And we'd let in probably 10 or 12 already this year. And we're like, no, we can't let in anymore. There's more need in the neighborhood, but our budget, the number of sponsors we have, we can't let in 80 more. We're 88, we're maxed out. And we agreed on this, right? And like so many parents out there, one parent is usually a yes parent, one parent is usually the no parent, right? And for our feeding program, that was me. I'm the no. We looked over the budget. We were like, nope, we can't let any more in. Well, the very next day after this conversation, this mother walks in with her five kids. And Callie's like, oh, I'm just going to go get her name and her phone number. Just going to kind of get their information. We'll put them on a wait list. It'll be good to go. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But remember, we're full. The budget is maxed out right now. And So Callie and I and the mom and her five children go to this neighborhood, you know, and we start getting information, and she starts telling her story. And she used to live in our neighborhood. And she said, well, my oldest two actually used to be in the feeding program. Like, no, I don't think so. Like, we've been here a while. We kind of know everybody who's been in it. We didn't recognize either of these two kids. And there was a 9-year-old in the room, and his name was Heido. And as soon as his mom said that name, my wife goes, Heido? Like, like my baby Haido, who I used to rock to sleep every day and who I used to play with on the playground. And the mom's like, yeah, yeah, you know my baby. And the wonders of social media today, Callie pulled up her Facebook, was like, look, this is me with your three-year-old who's now 9 years old, getting kind of frustrated that my wife keeps saying baby Haido as to a nine-year-old. But so we knew these kids, and immediately we knew we had to enroll them. So we were up to 93 kids all of a sudden. And as the mom kept telling her story, about 6 years ago, she got married. And she moved to a different neighborhood about 2 miles away, so not too far. But it turns out that he was a very abusive man. And so they had three kids together, and she was finally like, look, I need to leave. I need to get out. I need to find a new place to live. So she left with her children back to our neighborhood, and immediately they came to us. And her oldest kids are enrolled in school in the neighborhood 2 miles away. They can't get into the new school until this coming August. So every day, before they were in the feeding program, in the children's program, the mom had to decide, do I walk 2 miles with a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and a one-year-old to take my oldest two kids to school, and then 2 miles back with these three little ones? Or do I pay $4 to send the oldest two on a motorcycle taxi, but then the three little ones don't get to eat today? So these are the decisions that she was having to make. And now that they're enrolled in our children's program, they don't have to make that decision anymore. The kids get to come. They get to have a hot meal every day. The oldest get to go to school every day. And as well, they get to come for a hot meal too. But these are the kind of stories that we're dealing with. And so that's our feeding program. We also do, what time does church end, Pastor? 11:30, 12? Okay. All right. I won't keep you guys that long. Don't worry. So that's our children's program. We also do other ministries. My wife is a nurse, so we do lots of medical ministries throughout the community. We do different medical clinics in the refugee area, which is a neighborhood of just what it sounds. It's just little metal shacks kind of propped up against another building. And there's about 300 families that live in this one square block area. And it's 6 to 10 people per home in a house probably not bigger than here to the wall. You'll have 6 to 8 people living, and this is their house. And there's about 300 families like that in this neighborhood. We also do youth group. We go on youth retreats. We do have lots of church relationship ministries as well. So we do ministries all throughout our community. And that is just a quick introduction of what we do. Today we're going to be reading out of the book of John. John chapter 6. This is a story that probably every one of you here know if you've ever been in church for more than a month. It's Jesus feeds the 5,000, right? We've all heard this story. In Bible times, it was probably the most widely known miracle because of how many people witnessed it. And so it starts, after this, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, Jesus asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that to feed this huge crowd?" So, reading this story, it makes me think of two boys I know from the Dominican. Their names are Yeo and Juanel. Yeo is 11 years old. He has 6 siblings, and they live in a little metal shack. There's only 1 mattress for the 8 of them that live in there. And the boys, and 1 sister out of the bunch, they all sleep on cardboard mattresses on the floor. And Juanel is 8 years old. He has 2 siblings. And at about the age of 3 or 4, he became the father, the man of his house. His father was actually murdered. And these two boys now fish to make money for their family. They go in the river every day. they go out and they fish, and they every time they catch a fish, they can sell it for 30 cents. And recently there was a holiday, and the boys weren't in school, and so they were out fishing, and I went and visited with them down in the river, and I was like, well, why have you been out here so long? Normally they just fish for an hour or two in the morning, and they're like, well, it's a holiday today, and we need to provide for our family, these two boys. And he said, we need to make enough money so that we can provide a good holiday dinner for our family. And they shouldn't have to do that at that age. You know, I couldn't imagine having to be 8 or 11 when I was that age, having to go out and make money for my family so that they could eat a holiday meal. But that's what these two boys were doing. And just like this boy in the Bible, you know, we don't know much about him. We don't know if that boy went out to catch the fish for his family or to sell them. We don't know if he went out with his dad in the morning to go fish, or it could have been just as simple as his mom knew that Jesus was speaking. And she's like, hey, here's a lunch. Go listen. Go listen to Jesus. Go learn everything you can. Here's your lunch. We don't really know anything about him. And so we continue to read, and it says, tell everyone to sit down. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. So this is an incredible miracle, right? There was 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus miraculously made that enough to cover everyone. And right off the bat, we see the need in this story, right? We see the need of lots of people, no food. We see needs every day in the Dominican Republic. You guys see needs every day here in Beulah. And this little boy relied on Jesus. We know that he was faithful. And he offered what he had. And the boy didn't know how Jesus would use it. He could have given all his food to Jesus, and Jesus and his 12 disciples ate it there in front of everybody. You know, we don't know how God was going to use it. But the boy was faithful. And he gave everything that he had. You know, many times in the United States, we don't give everything we have. We like money at the end of the month to put into savings. We like to go out to restaurants where they give us nice, large-sized portions that we can take home the next day. We don't like our baskets empty. We like them nice and full. We like a backup plan. But this boy, he didn't have a backup plan. He could have given 1 loaf and half a fish. He could have cut up and given it to Jesus. But he gave everything he had, and he was faithful with that. And Jesus blessed it. You know, this story is not about the little boy, but it's about Jesus. And it's about the miraculous thing that Jesus did on this day. And the boy, he was just available for Jesus to use him. That was it. The boy had no part in the actual miracle. He was just faithful with what he had. The coolest part about the story, though, is that there was more than enough. You know, many times in life, we have a little thing. We have a little simple basket like the boy has. You know, we all have a basket in our lives. And this day, he saw Jesus take what was not enough and turned it into more than enough with just a plethora of extra food, 12 extra baskets. And you know, when I was preparing for today, me and my wife were kind of talking, and James, my 5-year-old son, came up to me and said, do I get a basket? And I was like, well, they're like fake baskets, buddy. We're just talking how everybody has a basket and they can give it to God, you know, just like the little boy. And James was like, well, I want a basket. And I'm like, okay, what do you want in your basket? And he goes, candy. I want my basket full with candy. And I was like, wow, that'll do it, bud. And so it just made us think, like, how even children have things that they can use for the Lord. You know, they have this childlike faith. And one day, Callie was leading a Bible study in the Dominican, and James was there. And the question was, If it started to storm outside right now, we have big storms in the Dominican, lots of rain, hurricanes, just nasty storms, right? And the question was, if one of those started, could you go out and stop the storm? And all the kids like, no, of course we couldn't. Like, what? Who could do that? And it comes to James, and James goes, yeah, mommy, I could do it. And Callie's like, what? Like, how would you do that? And he said, well, I go outside, and I say, Jesus, stop the storm. And it would stop. And Callie's like, okay, yeah, like that could work. And so it's just like this childlike faith that these kids haven't been jaded by the world. You know, that hasn't happened to them yet. And just like this boy in the Bible was that he had faith that Jesus was going to take what he had in his basket and just do so much more with it. And I have a friend, his name is Santo, and Santo is 20 years old. I met him when he was 13 years old, so 7 years ago. And we were visiting, you know, after knowing each other for a few weeks, and I was still learning Spanish at the time, and he just wanted to hang out. And we were talking about our goals for the future, right? And his goal, sorry guys, I just need a quick drink. His goal for the future was, I want to be a dad. And I was like, wow, 13-year-old kid, that's not a common goal in the Dominican Republic. Fathers are not, they're known to be bad fathers. And so this kid wanted to be a dad for his longtime life goal. And I was like, that's awesome. How many kids do you want to have? And he goes, I want to have 21 kids. And I was like, no, no, no. Like, no woman can have 21 kids. And his answer was, oh, no. I want 21 kids with lots of different women. Yes, that was my reaction right there. Like, what? What? And so we were just sitting on a playground. I was like, I did not think this is where the conversation was going to go. And so we started talking about biblical marriage and relationships and what it looks like to be faithful to one woman and all these things, you know. And for some reason, I don't think it clicked. You know, he was 13-year-old. He clearly had his mind somewhere else. I don't think it clicked that day. But Santo was at our ministry every single day. He came, he ate, he hung out. He came, he ate, hung out. He came to youth group every Thursday night. We were really beginning to disciple him, you know. And about a year and a half ago, he came to know the Lord. And he was walking through his neighborhood one night, and he heard a song that he really liked at a church. And so he went inside and listened to the sermon, and that night he ended up giving his life to the Lord. And the next day, he came to me, and he said, hey, everything you told me over the past 5.5 years, it finally clicked. Like, it finally made sense. Everything I've heard in youth group, everything I've heard at the feeding program, like, it finally made sense, and I'm giving my life to the Lord. And there's this plant. It's called Chinese bamboo. Anybody know what that is? Okay, great. I just learned about it like a month ago. So it's this plant that you plant. You plant it wherever you want, and you have to nourish this plant for 5 years, and you don't even see a sprout or anything. 5 years. If you don't water it, it dies. You don't give it what it needs, it dies. But for 5 years, you nourish this plant. And then finally, at 5 years, it takes 30 days to grow 90 feet. Yeah. And so really, it takes 5 years and 30 days to grow 90 feet. But you don't see the growth for the first 5 years. And that's like with Santo. We ministered to him for 5.5 years before he finally gave his life to the Lord. And now he preaches once a month at youth group. So he came from this neighborhood living in poverty and is now pulling himself out of that and preaching the gospel to the next generation. He is a chaperone on our youth retreat and at all of our events. He comes and he chaperones, he hangs out with the youth, and it's just so awesome. So Santo grew up in a little metal home. He has 5 siblings and they have 2 beds. And he was helping us move. So we bought a house this past June, May. May or June, we bought a house in the Dominican Republic. And we moved in August 10th, which happened to be my wife's due date with our newest little baby, which I would never recommend doing that. But she obviously could not help me carry anything. So I called Santo. I was like, hey, Santo, I need some help. Can you come help me move furniture? And he helped move furniture all day long. We moved furniture. We hung out. We visited. And our house, this is our house right here. That's our house that we bought. It looks nicer now. We painted it, but it looks a little fresher now. But that was our house. And our house has an apartment on the back side of it. And he said, hey, can I live in this apartment? And I was like, well, maybe. Like, we haven't really thought about that. Like, why would you like to live here? So he got accepted into engineering school, which will be huge for him in his life. And his university is actually just a block away from our house. So that was one reason. The other reason is he's a newish Christian, about a year and a half, and his father is actually struggles with alcohol. And every night he would go home, his father was drunk, it's loud, it's rowdy, he's trying to study, he's trying to be a better Christian. It's just not working very well in this house, so he needed a way out. So what we had in our basket at the time was a place for Santo to live. And Santo works a full-time job, goes to university at nights, and still makes enough time for youth group on Thursday nights. And more so than that, he's become a part of our family. He comes to board game nights at least once, if not two, three times a night. We play lots of board games. He comes to family dinner two or three times a night. He's really become a part of our family. And so Santo is one of those kids that grew up in our feeding program, eating one hot meal a day. And if he had dinner, it was crackers. Well, now every time he goes to the grocery store, he makes sure to buy extra crackers or cookies or whatever he wants that week because he knows when he gets home from work, my two oldest kids, they're 5 and 2, will be at his door waiting to greet him. And every day he gives them a snack. And so it's just so cool to see him using what he has to minister to the youth and to my children. It's just such a cool thing that he is using his time, his energy, his resources to bless other people. So I have a quick video for you. I mentioned a youth retreat. I'm going to show you a quick video here about youth retreat. Can we do that? Here we go. So that was youth retreat. We take these kids up into the mountains about 2.5 hours away from our house. And for most of these kids, that's the furthest they've ever been away from their house. It's up in the mountains and these windy roads, which brings car sickness problems into the picture because most of them are used to motorcycles. So that's always a fun time. But this was our second annual trip that we went on. And this year's trip was all about who am I? That's what it was titled, just like the song was. But more so, who am I in Christ? So the youth in today's culture, here, there, I'm sure in the whole world, get told negative things all the time. You're going to be a failure. You're not pretty enough. You're too heavy. You don't look this way. You don't look that way. You're never going to graduate school. You're never going to, you know, these negative things. And every single day, they're getting fed into their lives. So we wanted to take this week and tell them who they are in God's eyes. And we did that. We had worship services. We structured off of youth camp. Who's ever been to youth camp? Crystal Springs. Yeah, few people. And we structured it basically off of that. You know, in the morning you have service, you play games in the afternoon, in the evening you have service, water time, literally. We made a schedule based off that. And it was such a powerful time. But the most memorable thing to me was in that video, you guys saw people throwing things into the fire. So the very last night, we were sitting around the bonfire, and we asked everyone a question. We wanted them to write down on their piece of paper something that they've been told negatively in their lives that they believe and they no longer want to identify with. And everyone who could write started writing immediately. They all had been told negative things their whole life. And when everyone was done with that, we had everyone close their eyes and we asked them some questions. And we probably asked about 20, 25 questions. And if it was true, we wanted to raise their hand. And some of the questions were like, who has had to work before the age of 12 because your family needed the money? And every single boy and about half the girls raised their hand for that question. There were 33 on this trip. And another question was, who's had to drop out of school to help raise a little sibling? Who's had to drop out of school to help raise a little sibling? And about a third of the girls raised their hand that they had to drop out of school to raise a little sibling. They were no longer getting an education. Another question was, who's never been enrolled in school because you don't have the right paperwork? And there were about 6 or 7 kids who'd never been enrolled in school and will never be enrolled in school either. And the last question that we asked, and this is the one that still sticks with me the most to this day, was there were 33 kids on this trip. And the question was, who currently lives with your birth mother and your birth father? Not a single child raised their hand. And yeah, so this stuck with us. You know, we knew all of these answers. We know these kids well. We knew every answer, but seeing it in the numbers like that in front of our face was very different than knowing their individual stories. And, you know, someone one time asked us, why do you do what you do? And that was a hard question to answer. Because like I told you earlier, we have 93 reasons of why we do what we do. And this night around the campfire is just another reason of why we do what we do. You know, we learned that night that most of these kids don't have a father figure in their life. Some of them don't have, some of them live with their father, but most live with their mother. And we learned that night how we can minister to them better, how we can be more motherly and fatherly and nurturing, and how we can, you know, just things that we're now working through with these kids, knowing even more about their situations. And, you know, we were at a school a few weeks ago, a Christian school in Missouri. They come every year on a mission trip to see us. We went and visited them while we were in town. And in their gym, on their wall, there was only a few words. There was no banners, no nothing, just these few words up high on the wall. And it said, whoever wants the next generation the most will get them. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about that. You know, they're fed negative things all day long in the media. And how are we combating that? You know, so it's our goal to reach the next generation. You know, our ministry was founded on a verse in Psalms. And it says that they may set their hope in him. And so everything that we do, if we can't apply it so that someone will set their hope in Jesus Christ, we're not going to do it. And the quote was, whoever wants the next generation the most will get them. And that's our focus, is for the next generation. And I say all this to bring it back to the story. You know, the little boy had a basket. He gave everything that he had to the Lord. Santo has a basket. He doesn't have much resources, but he has time. He goes on these youth retreats as a 20-year-old kid with a bunch of 12, 13, 14-year-old kids. Punks is what they are. No, but he gives what he has, and he gives it fully to the Lord. And that's my question for you today. Is what's in your basket? Everybody's basket is different. Some people have more financial resources than others. Some people have more time than others. Some people have gifts and talents that they can use for ministry. Everyone's basket is different. But I want you to think about your basket and what you have to offer the Lord. And I encourage you just to give that all to the Lord. You know, many times in the States, we like to go halfways because we like to live a good, comfortable life. And I'm encouraging you to go further. And even if you say, no, this is just enough for me, this is just enough for my family. Well, just like the boy's situation, that could have been his whole family's food for that day. We don't know. But he still gave it all to the Lord. So I just want to encourage you with what you have in your basket, however little it may be, give it fully to the Lord. We've seen time and time again in the Dominican with what little we have. We don't know how we're going to do this. We don't know how we're going to do that. We've just given it to the Lord, and we have seen him watch. We've watched and seen him do amazing things that we could never have even imagined. We've seen miracles happen. We've seen just incredible things, and we didn't see that until we fully gave what we had to offer that day to the Lord. So that's what I want to challenge you with today is really evaluate what you have and how you can use that here in your local community and nationally and internationally, but see what you have and what you can use. So with that, I'd like to pray and offer Pastor Justin to come up here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your blessings that you've provided us with us today. We thank you for this church service, Lord, that we've hopefully been blessed by, Lord. We pray that you bless everyone here today with safe travels, with good health, Heavenly Father, with fair weather, Lord, just with everything that they need in their lives, Lord. I pray that you bless them. I pray that you encourage them each and every day, Lord. And in your name I pray, amen.
Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this service, God. I thank you for those that are here. Father, I pray that you would put your hand upon those that cannot be here. But Father, as we get ready to take up this offering, I pray that you would search our hearts, that we would be obedient, Father, that we would understand that the reality of the situation, when you boil it down to the bare minimum, is that we're not taking anything with us. And so let's use the resources that we have to expand your kingdom, God, to meet needs where we can, to bless those that have given their lives to be missionaries. I pray that you would put your hand upon the offering, keep your hand upon the Frankas, Father, and their ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.